everyone. Pastor Lyle Phillips here from Legacy Nashville Church. We are so honored that you would join us today for the message on our podcast. We pray that these sermons would bless, encourage, and equip you for all that God has called you to do. Let's get into it.
What amazing worship atmosphere. How many of you feel so blessed to be here? We are not at Frozen Chosen Assembly with Pastor Frigidaire. Some of you don't know. Praise God. Well, it's an honor to be here this morning, here at the second service. This morning at the 9 a.m., I was speaking about an encounter that I had a couple of weeks ago, actually flying into Nashville and went and spoke at a pastor's conference in Nortonville, Kentucky. And on my way there, God really began to speak to me about the extravagance. Can you say extravagance? About the extravagance and the excessiveness. Can you say excessiveness? God began to talk to me about in 2025, He is desiring an extravagance and an excessiveness in our walk with Him like never before. So at 9 a.m., I shared out of Luke chapter 14, and we talked about what I call the table of encounter. And so I'll leave that service as is, but we're going to build here now in the second service, and then tonight we'll kind of rally and finish in Acts chapter 10. But I want to talk this morning out of Luke chapter 7. If you have your Bibles and you want to go ahead and go there, Luke chapter 7. We're going to hopefully read a familiar passage of scripture where our dear sister breaks an alabaster box before the Lord. I do love to write. One of the things that I do just to be obedient to the Lord is to put into paper a lot of the revelations and the dreams that He gave me. My most recent book is called Secrets to Stewarding God's Voice in a New Era. It is a subtitle of The Price and Power of Influence. We have several copies in the back in the lobby if you want to grab one. But God has been talking to me on a global level about the emergence of a Joseph company, where God is specifically even in the marketplace. There is an emergence of leaders coming who have seen the palace, but they're unprepared for the pit and the prison. And I believe that this generation senses at times the promotion that's coming, but we're not prepared for the false accusation. We're not prepared for the rejection and even the jealousy that comes oftentimes from friends and family members. And so if you're here this morning and you're sensing the Lord is bringing an upgrade, He's bringing an increase in influence, I'd encourage you to grab that book in the library. I have a son in the Lord, Dom, that's here with me, and he'd love to greet you. Amen? All right. So my goal here at the 11 a.m. is to slay religion, okay? So I don't know if you've ever had teaching on the religious spirit, but I want to reveal the number one enemy to you of extravagant, radical Christianity. So I want to be able to give you some language so that you know when you sense the spirit of religion is warring against your extravagant, radical, excessive call to be wild for Jesus. You not only know what it is, but you can overcome it and rebuke it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus stands up in the synagogue and He reads from the scroll. He reads out of Isaiah 61 and He says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the good news, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim freedom for the captives." Jesus goes into the church of His day, the synagogue, and He reads from the scroll. Personally, I feel like this would have been a better message for an open air crowd that gathered on the mountain. We know the Sermon on the Mount of Beatitudes. Jesus gives them, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. So you had a lot of people on the Mount of Beatitudes that probably were not really familiar with his ministry. So if JJ's writing the scriptures, I'd flip-flop it. I'd give the synagogue, the church folk, blessed are the poor in spirit. And then on the Mount of Beatitudes, kind of open air harvest, I'd be telling them, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the good news, to bind up. So my point is this. Jesus walks into the church of his day and says, I've come to set the captives free. And what he is establishing is there are two types of prisoners. There are prisoners to sin, and then there are prisoners to religion. And many people in this generation have been set free from sin, but you are bound in religion. And so I want to explain a little bit about what the religious spirit is. Are you ready? The religious spirit has a form of godliness but denies the power of God. The religious spirit attends church on Sunday and has no expression during the week. A form of godliness. I have a religious spirit when I live in the Bible Belt and I know it's the right thing to do to go to church, but I have no heart transformation. A form of godliness, but there's no power unto transformation, right? So if what we did this morning doesn't translate into tomorrow, we didn't have revival, we had a pep rally. Come on, I hope a pep rally didn't take place here this week. I believe that you all consecrated yourselves, you fasted and you prayed. There was a radical expression of Christianity born from the Spirit of God that will sustain you throughout all of 2025. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. The religious spirit is the author of cessationism, a doctrine of demons that says the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not for today. The religious spirit is a form of godliness that denies the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the religious spirit is the author of cessationism, a doctrine of demons that says the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not for today. When I think about extravagance and I think about excessiveness, I go back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wanted to talk a few minutes this morning, if it was okay, about our BC days. Can you turn to your neighbor and say BC days? So BC days are our before Christ days. We know in the book of Ephesians, it says that in our BC days, we were dead in our trespasses and sin, right? In our BC days, we had a sin nature. And in our before Christ days, we excessively and we extravagantly served the devil. As I travel this nation and the nations of the earth, the church is full of ex-addicts. The church is full of people who in their former manner of life, they were radical and excessive for the devil. I'm sure that wouldn't be anybody in here. Romans chapter 1 says that they invented ways of doing evil, right? So some of us remember the parties or we remember the gatherings where it just wasn't about getting drunk. It was who could drink the most. We even had a competition, and we had a rivalry in the demonic realm where we willingly and with joy pressed the bounds of evil. We didn't care how many drinks. We didn't care who we were with. We were wiling out for the devil as serving Satan our father in our BC days, radical and excessive for him. The religious spirit comes in through a false gospel. There is a false gospel being preached in the earth today called behavior modification. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not behavior modification. The gospel of Jesus Christ is inward transformation, where I go from having an evil and a sick heart and an evil and a sick nature, and I come into the kingdom of God, and I no longer have a sin nature. I have a divine nature. I no longer have an addiction to alcohol and drugs. I have an addiction to Jesus, the lover of my... All right, I believe I'm preaching to Legacy Nashville. I believe that this house is mantled for extravagant. I believe that this is a place where you are called to give a generation permission to burn for Jesus. I'm talking about I've been delivered from the dominion of darkness, and I've stepped into the kingdom of God. You are called to be a safe place for the remnant and a dangerous place for the lukewarm. Some of you are looking at me like I'm crazy, but you already sat through the worship. I'm like, finally. I don't have to come up here and try to move a crowd. The worship team already ushered in the glory and the power of Jesus. And we're not here to spectate. We are here to participate. So the religious spirit comes in off of a false gospel of behavior modification, where rather than exchanging for a sick heart to a new heart, from an evil nature to a new nature, we become chameleons. We learn how to behave one way at church to fit in, and then we go back to our old manner of life during the week. And this false gospel is so popular today, one of the worst places to find a spouse is at church. Folks, I'm telling you, many preachers have departed the faith, but they have not departed the pulpit. So this false gospel of behavior modification brings people into the kingdom of God. And where you once had someone wiling out for the devil, they now become tame for Jesus. The nature, is it okay to walk on this? It's not going to fall or anything? Okay, I'm going to. The nature of the religious spirit is to tame and to domesticate. So my Bible says that the righteous are as bold as lions. But in religion, we are not lions and lionesses. We are kitty cats. And we've got people in the church wondering why the devil is attacking them, because that sucker knows you're not a lion. You are a kitty cat because you're playing church. The devil knows his kind. And so the religious spirit has come in this generation and has taken former drug addicts, drunks, people that were wild for the devil, has seduced them with a false gospel, and then now all of a sudden, people who were once wild for the devil are tame for Jesus. And one of the challenges that I personally have in my journey is, Pastor Lyle, I see a lot of people, and I'm like, bro, I knew you. Anybody like to dance? Anybody, hopefully, your former manner of life? Maybe you found yourselves in environments where, oh boy, your hips could move. See, in my BC days, I know individuals, they were grinding on people at the club, wiling out for the devil, and now they're supposedly saved in church that look like this. Apparently, the kingdom of God has no longer caused your hips to work. No, if you once danced for the devil, you need to start dancing for Jesus. Oh, brother, I was so high on drugs. Brother, I was so drunk at the bar. Why don't you try drunk in the Holy Ghost? People sit, they're telling their story like they're boasting in their devil testimony. And I'm like, brother, you are lukewarm. I'm very disappointed. The crazier you tell me you were for the devil, the crazier I believe you should be for Jesus Christ. Come on, God did not deliver you off those streets so you could sit on the back of a pew and rot until Jesus comes back. God delivered you from those streets to fill you with the Holy Spirit and fire so you could go back to those streets and make the devil pay. Woo! This room is a little awkward. The religious spirit is here. No. People, they don't have... What is that? What is that when you catch fire for God and you go try to share it with brothers and sisters in Christ? They don't stoke your fire. They're a wet blanket. Why? They're bound in religion. Your fire is exposing their dryness. The fire of the Holy Ghost is exposing their demons. They need deliverance. We've become tame. We've become domesticated. And here's a couple of things that I've noticed. I promise we'll get to the Bible. Matthew, I don't know where we are. Luke 7. Tracking this thing out, I found it fascinating. Just again, trying to grasp this radical life for the devil. But then people are like so miserable for God. And I'm noticing that there are certain things that make religion mad. And so my personality is, I want to make it matter. So I realize in a lot of my study and a lot of my travel, the religious spirit hates women preachers. There's something about religion where you could have the most boring, the most religious, the most stale male preacher. It's so awkward in there, you could hear a rat pee on a cotton ball. And everybody's fine. But the moment an anointed woman of God, an Esther and a Deborah, steps into her calling. See, there are sisters in this room. You have been oppressed by the religious spirit your entire life, and today is your day. I've come to set the captives free. I prophesy over Legacy Nashville that the daughters are going to arise out of this house, and there is a roar that's going to come. These men, I'm like, bro, you have mommy problems. Like, the reason why you don't like that woman of God is because you need deliverance from your childhood. If a woman could give birth to Christ, surely a woman could preach Christ. I feel a revival of women coming to Nashville. I see them on college campuses. Wow. Tell me, religion, they do not like women preachers. Something else that I've noticed about the religious spirit is extravagant praise and worship drives that spirit nutty. So as long as you stick to the screen, you skip to the time frame, so long as everybody doesn't get rowdy, we're okay. But the moment there's a shout, the moment there's a praise, the moment someone breaks their alabaster box, all of a sudden that religious spirit starts criticizing a man or woman of God. And I'm telling you, extravagant worship always invokes the criticism of the barren. People that are critical of extravagant praise and worship, it is a smokescreen for their own barren life. King David is bringing the Ark of the Covenant back into Israel, 2 Samuel 6. And our brother learned a hard lesson, and now he's bringing this presence back into Israel, and the scriptures say that he is shouting, he is dancing in the linen ephod with all his might. And the word of God says that his wife looked down from the window, and it says she despised him in her heart. He finishes up the celebration, and they have this conversation. And she says to him, Michal or Michal, she says to him, my, how undignified the king of Israel looks. And I'm going to give you the JJ translation, because this brother, he's met with the decision. Some of you this year, you're here this morning because you have a decision to make. Are you going to cower and bow down to a religious spirit operating through your friends and family? Or as David turns to her and says, you ain't seen nothing yet, baby. You know why? They can make fun of your dance, but they don't know your deliverance. Come on, I'm talking to some people in here. God delivered you. God set you free. You remember that crack house. You remember giving your body away. You remember, and oh Lord, I can't wait to shout. I can't wait to praise. I can't wait to glorify God. How many of you are grateful for the gospel of Jesus Christ?
that he saved me, that he delivered me, that he reached down in my pit and he pulled me out, that he wrapped his arms around me, that he filled me with the Holy Ghost. Come on, I got the full package, baby. He gave me his language. He filled me with his fire. I cast out demons.
And I refuse to tone down my level of hunger for people less hungry. Well, brother, you're so emotional. Well, brother, you're so full of hype. No, I'm talking about the extravagance and the excessiveness that I operate in is born from the gospel. And if you know me well, folks, I'm not into the charismania thing. Right? I tell people, like, if you keep falling on the floor and you can't take it out the door, stop falling on the floor. Like, I want the real thing. I mean, I want to know God for real so that the extravagant worship that I give him on Sunday translates into loving my wife on Monday and Tuesday. I'm talking about fruit that remains. That's the real gospel of Jesus Christ. That's not temporary sin that satisfies for a moment. I'm talking about joy everlasting. I'm talking about pleasures in God's presence forevermore. But some of you, in the name of Jesus, I break the fear of man off of you. I break every generational curse in your bloodline that has sought to tame you, that has sought to keep you captive. I say there's a lion, there's a lioness on the inside of you, and this is the year of the roar. This is the year that Legacy Nashville roars, that shakes the gates of religion in this region. Yeah, there's conviction here too. Folks, how have we gotten to the place where so many of us, we serve the devil way better than we've ever served God? And this whole time thing, I don't know about you, but a lot of people, man, we didn't go out till late. Nightlife, nothing really opens till late. We didn't really care how late we stayed, but now apparently we're saved and we just keep checking the clock about when is it over. No concept of time, living for the devil, but yet all we're concerned about saved is when are we going to get out of here? People tell me, oh, brother, you know, services only have to be a certain amount of time in America because people have ADHD and ADD and the whole thing. And I'm like, that's interesting. I saw them at the movies on Friday. They stared for 2 hours. They held their pee because the climax of the move. It's getting awkward in here. No, it's called idolatry. Can we just, it's idolatry. No, you love entertainment more than you love Jesus. Repent. Let's just get real. Let's take off all this religiosity, all this fraud, all this hypocrisy. Will the real Jesus stand up, and will the real followers of Christ lead in Nashville? Folks, I see a burning inferno in Nashville. I see God's anointing and his mantle where you all are called to break the back of drug addiction. You are called to turn prostitutes into preachers. There's a glory here.
I see like the sword of the Lord here. Like, are you in or are you out? Again, I'm tracing this back to, this is not religious metrics. This is how many of you are grateful for the gospel. Folks, nowhere in the New Testament does it say to the sinners at Corinth, to the sinners at Galatia. Listen, when you and I were born again into the kingdom of God, the old has passed and the new has come. What I once pursued, what I once was addicted to, in order to follow Jesus, you have to unfollow yourself. I feel like we need to rally again in this generation. Let's get saved for real. No. Let's, I fully surrender. Lord, I give you my former manner of life and all that I did for the devil. And I'm believing that in Christ Jesus, all things are made new. And I'm not just going to be on fire for God. Listen to me. I'm going to make the devil pay. I wake up every day excited to make the devil pay for all the years I lived as a knucklehead. All right, so I'm not a false prophet. Luke 7, here we go. You got to read the Bible. That's what that means. You didn't read the Bible. In every instance in the scriptures where someone got radical, where someone went excessive, it's always met with religious criticism. David dances with all his might, and that Michael begins to criticize him, and it says she was barren for the rest of her days. We are warring in cities all over America against the religious spirit that's come in through a false gospel, yet God is raising up modern day Esthers and modern day Deborahs to make religion pay. God is raising up extravagant praise and worship that's going to drive out lukewarm Christianity. Something else that makes the religious spirit mad is extravagant generosity. I told them in last service, I don't believe in tithing. I believe we're in a new covenant. I believe we're under grace. I believe I'm so full of the Holy Ghost, 10% is no longer the maximum, it's the minimum. I don't see tithing in the book of Acts. I see all. No, I remember you. You and me, we were buddies. You would go and blow all your money on Friday on beer. But you get clenched up when the offering bucket goes by now. No, people, they freak out about giving, but yet you look back at their former manner of life. We blew money at the lotto. We all careless. But Jesus isn't worthy of everything. So our dear sister, this woman, Luke chapter 7, 36, now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him and entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. Behold, there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of perfume. We know that this alabaster box was expensive. Scholars say probably a year's wages. Remember, in an extravagant lifestyle of sin, and even the sinning woman knows, extravagant sin requires extravagant repentance. This little old lady doesn't come with a dollar. She comes with all that she has and more. Standing behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet, anointing them with perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she's a sinner." Ooh, I see you, religious spirit. This dear sister, she's working her way through religion's home. Just wonder, from God's perspective, how many of our houses of, they're not houses of worship, they're houses of religion. People like this woman who have lived a life of radical sin, they come in and find people bound in religion who mock and criticize the very people they should be learning from. How was your worship today? How will your worship be tomorrow? What does extravagance, what does excessiveness, what does 2025 look like with you going all in? To me, it's going to look like having to push your way past people who are less hungry. It's going to force us into conversations and situations where we will be accused of going to a cult. We're going to have to work past the criticism, even from people that we love, and say, you know what, I bless you, but I know there's more. I know that God is doing something over there at Legacy Nashville, and I'm okay if I've got to park a few miles away because I'm hungry. Hold on, because I went to the football game a couple weeks ago, and I had to park. Well, I want you to start holding people accountable. Dude, you know these people in your church. Brother, they blow their money on stupid stuff. And then when an opportunity comes to give to the kingdom, they've got nothing. So she pushes her way past, and she's with her hair and she's with her tears. And this Pharisee is such a, I don't know, is idiot an okay word? He's, yeah, if this guy was a prophet, he'd rebuke her. Jesus answered, "Simon, I've got something to say to you." Or, "Bro, you better get ready." "Say it, teacher." "A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500, the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. Which of them did he love more?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have judged correctly." Turning to the woman, he said to him, "Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time she's arrived, has been kissing my feet. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, because she has loved much, but he who is forgiven little." I get overwhelmed by the gospel. I don't know if you spend time remembering. remembering how lost you were. We come into this false gospel thing, and it's like we think God owes us something. God owes me nothing. I willingly give him everything. And I want my life, and I want my worship, and I want the tribe that I run with to press in to extravagance. I'm praying and believing as we begin to close service today that you will at Legacy Nashville hear heaven's invitation. There is more. And in a room full of people that God has delivered, that God has set free, some of us, we should be dead multiple times. Lord, I've got to shout. I've got to praise. I've got to worship you. I've got to go all in. Lord, I need new friends. I need new goals. I need new priorities. But Lord, I'm all in. I believe there are two groups of people here today. I know that this is bold, but I care more about where you'll spend eternity than pleasing you. Are you really living for Jesus? If you died tonight in a car accident, are you certain where you'd spend eternity? I believe that following Jesus is a process. I believe that we're learning how to please the Lord. But listen to me. If I'm claiming to be a Christian and I don't see any difference from where I once was to where I am now, there's a problem. And I want to give an opportunity today for anyone in this room to go all in. There could be people in this room, you've got the testimony of testimonies, wiling out for the devil, and you've just kind of been finding yourself hanging out, trying to fit in. But you know in your heart, I need a new heart. I need a new mind. I need a new life. I need everlasting joy. If that's you in this room, I want you to stand on the count of three. One, two, three, stand. Is there anybody in this room that you're responding right now? Come on. Anybody else? Come on, let's give them a big, big. Come on, Jesus.
Thank you so much for joining us today on the Legacy Nashville podcast. If you'd like more information about our church, you can find us online at legacynashville.org or check us out on social media at Legacy Nashville. Thanks again for joining. God bless.